When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mays getting very fired up over this replay of the Rockets-Lakers Summer League game.
No call. They're letting them play out there. God, please.
You got us.
Can't buy a. The Rockets can't buy a foul.
Swallow the whistle on the Summer League. That's what I always say. You got to let these guys battle out on their own. You don't want the ref show in the Vegas Summer League.
I guess you don't.
You don't have any time for that. All right, a couple of quick programming notes as I teased in the first hour. Michael Carroll is going to join us. Starting next segment, we're going to talk some movies because I've seen a lot of them this week, thanks to Centerpoint. He's also going to sit in with us for our big question in our Mount Rushmore Plus One. Of course, Michael Carroll, the co-host of Comic Cast, which you can hear Friday nights at 9 o'clock here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. And next week, assuming we don't have power or we have power back, Sean and I will not be in because we will be playing NCAA football.
Yes.
I like doing this radio show. I do not like it more than playing NCAA football. Program note. We will not be on next week because especially if I don't get power back to like Friday, I am playing the hell out of NCAA football next Saturday. So we will not be on the air. Possibly back after that. We'll see what our NCAA football schedules look like, how far we take in Texas State and Grambling and all these other schools. Maybe we might need to recruit that day is all I'm saying. I don't know. We'll see how those recruiting battles go. All right, new segment time. Trying something out here. We'll have a drop that it gets hopefully we get some more imaging for it next week, but we do have a drop we'll work in. But I thought about this when I saw people whining online about various players being all-star snubs. And certainly here locally, I would agree, Ronel Blanco deserved to be an all-star. You could call him a snub.
I think that's a disgrace to the league.
Okay, well, maybe I have to ask Sean Mapes this question, but why so serious? Not everyone in the league can be an all-star. Like, it feels disgusting. Like especially when you see some of these local broadcasts and everyone does a segment where it's like any guy that they have that's just having a good season, they have to start the show after the all-star teams are announced. Like, man, why can't our guy that's hitting .280 with 12 home runs, why did he make the all-star?
Did he come on late?
Yeah, it's like because there's only so many spots. Like, I mean, we also complain later on when those guys who make the all-star, because they can barely get guys in the game now. There's so many players on the roster. They've expanded it over the years. Like, we don't need 50 people per side on this all-star team. It almost, I don't want to go old man participation trophy complaint, but it almost turns into, at times, I just, like, why are we taking this so serious?
Why so serious?
Why are we taking, it's the all-star game, I get that for, you know, prestige at the end of the career. You want to say how many all-star games you made. Sure, I'm sure it works into some contractual things.
Yeah.
It matters.
When he's up for Cooperstown, it's going to come up.
Exactly.
How many times Ronel Blanco was an all-star?
Well, zero so
and
far.
He's robbed of one.
Because he got snubbed, Sean. Look, there's going to be a few guys every year. And look, it's not that we can't have the conversation at all, because Ronel Blanco should have been on the all-star team. No doubt about it. But it's just, it feels like you have 30 teams finding every guy that's just okay or above average and asking, why is he the only All-Star game? Because the roster's not that big and we don't need every slightly above mediocre player on that. Look, give me an entertaining product to watch. If you're going to force me to watch a game that doesn't matter in a week there's like no sports on, well, at least give me the best players. I don't need some .280 hitter with 12 home runs having to find playing time for him because we didn't want to snub somebody.
I mean, honestly, we already kind of get that with the rule that every team has to have an all-star.
Yes, so shout out to Jason Castro, who was once that guy for the Astros.
There is a chance that you will have to watch a 280 hitter with 12 home runs from the Marlins.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't, like, there are a few cases every year we could talk about, but I don't know why people take all-star snubs so seriously. No. It's not that big of a deal.
Like the NBA,
It's an exhibition game at the end of the day. All right, the other thing I'm asking you why so serious about.
Why so serious?
You're on the ball today. People were seemingly upset about Paul Skeens, rookie phenom pitcher for the Pirates, getting pulled with a no-hitter in the seventh inning. Why did he get pulled? Because he's at 99 pitches and he's a rookie pitcher.
Let him go.
What would be worse to these people getting upset that he gets pulled? He gets pulled with a no-hitter because he's at 99 pitches already, and you don't want to overtax a young arm who just got drafted last year, or you push him to like 120 pitches, and he has like a Mark Pryor situation where he throws his arm off in 2 years. Like, why are we taking the idea of a possible no-hitter so serious?
It's also...
He hasn't even got it yet. He's still 2 innings away.
That is a good point. He still
has to get 6 more outs.
It's not guaranteed that he's
1 out away with Jose Abreu coming to the plate. That's not when they pulled him. He still had to get 6 more outs.
Yeah, it is something where it's also... We don't really take no-hitters that seriously.
Exactly.
So I would ask... Why so serious?
Why so serious?
About when talking about no hitters? Because I feel like we've kind of had the no hitter, like all the juice from no hitters kind of beaten out of us because there's actually only been one this year, but in most years.
Oh, yeah, Blanco. Yeah.
Yeah, in most years, by July, we've seen 5 of them already.
And they're cool in the moment, but Fromber's last year. Like, how often are we talking about Fromber's no-hitter last year?
Yeah, this...
Only in reference to how up and down his season's been.
Yes, and this might be a situation where maybe as Astros fans, we've just seen so many no-hitters.
Literally, like, the most in the league since they've been a franchise.
Yeah, that even thinking about, like, oh, Paul Skeens didn't get to try to pitch a no-hitter. It is ridiculous. Also, because this is the second time we've done this already with Paul Skeens.
Yeah, they showed a stat during last night's Astros game.
Yeah.
Justin Verlander is one of the other pitchers that done it. But
it's like 7 innings, 11 strikeouts.
No hits, 10-plus strikeouts. Yeah. And he's done it twice already this season.
Yeah, and it's him, Verlander, Nolan Ryan, and like Pedro Martinez.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like 3.
Yeah, so he's got pulled from 2 no-hitters this season.
There's 3 definite Hall of Famers. And Paul Skeens, who's made like 12 starts, and 2 of them have been no hitters. And you know what? I think he'll have a chance for another one in his long career.
I think he will. Will people get upset when he gets pulled with a no hitter from the All-Star game?
After 2 innings.
After 2 innings.
Look,
he's working with a no hitter. His pitch count's fine. It's just like
he was making Juan Soto look like a fool out there.
I just like
Bobby Witt was lost.
Like, no hitters are cool, but are they so cool that the people that are mad like want to risk an injury to like the only reason I feel like watching the All-Star game this upcoming Tuesday?
That is such a good point because he was named to the All-Star game last night, right?
Yeah, well, he was named the starter last night. Yeah,
named the starter last night, and so I am maybe this is just someone, you know, I don't live and die with Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. Never will.
Shocker.
Maybe to me, I'm just like, yeah, I'd rather watch him pitch. Like, starting the All-Star game is way cooler than trying to close out 2 innings of a no-hitter when you're already at 99 pitches. Like, to me, I am more interested in seeing him start the All-Star game. I do not want to jeopardize that because
is Major League Baseball. I think it's going to be, it's TV ratings, but box office for him.
Yeah, and not even the like, oh my God, he might get injured the second he throws 100 pitches in a start, which I am not a proponent of. It is just the fact that, I don't know, if he throws 125 pitches, I don't think they're going to let him on Thursday. I don't think they're going to let him pitch on Tuesday.
True.
I just don't think they'll let him do that.
No, I don't think they would.
So it's an idea of, well, if, him stopping at 99 allows him to then pitch again, probably the biggest game, or not the biggest game, the game that most people are going to watch in his career.
He plays for the Pirates. It'll be the biggest season, game well, of his of he
did,
season.
He did win a College World Series with LSU.
I said of the season.
I was calling it the biggest game of his career. I was like, it's not the big. He actually has won something in this past. But it's going to be the game that most people watch of him.
For sure.
Probably for the next 2 years.
Yeah, probably so, until he ends up on the Yankees in 3 years.
Oh, that was ugly.
I know, but that, know
the Yankees
true.
Don't even do that anymore.
I mean, kind of. I mean, Gerrit Cole was once a Pirate.
Yeah, they don't
went through Houston, and now is a Yankee. Yeah,
they don't do it as often as you.
Okay, all right. But, yeah, it's just I don't get – I mean, we'll wrap it up here so we can get to Michael Kerr on the other side. Yeah, that would be even worse.
The Dodgers at least do it.
Yeah, they do it a lot. But it's just like – no. I think the point you made earlier was kind of my overall thing I'm hanging on to here. It's like no-hitters aren't so cool now that it's worth getting upset about when someone's pulled from. Like, there's so many more things, like whether it be ready for the All-Star game, whether it be protecting a young guy that you don't want to overwork because it's his first year in the league. Like, it's not a guarantee. He had six more outs to get. I don't know why people are so serious about no-hitters in July.
Paul Skenes is cool. We want to see him pitch, but, like, we want to see him pitch
in the All-Star game on Tuesday. Exactly. Not some random Pirates game. I wasn't watching. The people complaining weren't watching. Shut up about it. All right. Michael Kerr on the other side of the break going to join us to talk about movies, some of the good, some of the bad of what I've seen over the last few days while Center Point is busy not restoring my power. That one, the bullpen returns on ESPN Radio 97.5 and
92.5. Why so serious?
ESPN 97.5. Please, M.I. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 to the Bullpen. I am Brian McDonald. With me, as always, Sean Mapes and Johnny Belmer behind the glass. And joining us here on the radio program is Michael Kerr, one half of Comicast, which you can hear Friday nights at 9 o'clock here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, and also, of course, on all your favorite podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, you know, all the ones that are super cool.
All the cool kids
all the
have
cool
them.
Ones that you can find Comicast on.
Yes.
What's well, I guess nothing's on the show this week because this, the hurricane had
I'll tell
other
you
plans.
What,
but
I'll what, tell you what's happening on the podcast. Nothing. Unless you want to hear last week's podcast, that was fun.
Well, what are you and John most fired up about recently? I assume Acolyte is towards the top of the list.
Acolyte is up there. I will say John has missed the last couple because he's been out of the country.
Yeah, that would be a good reason to miss the show.
Yeah, you know, I get it. I mean, I would go to London or wherever he's at.
Better than being here right now. Center Point's not messing up the energy in London.
He got stuck there because of the whole thing. So, but he's back and he's good. The main things we've been talking about as of late: Acolyte, House of the Dragon, The Boys. Of course, those three.
Yeah, that Boys is one of the shows I'm like really disappointed to be behind on. I haven't even started season three yet.
Yeah, you need to catch
up. I'm ashamed of that.
You need to catch up.
They've already announced, correct me if I'm wrong, that is it next season will be the final season?
Correct.
Okay, so I mean, without spoiling what's happening, do you feel like they put themselves in a spot? Because I don't know how closely are they following the comics? Do you think they've put themselves in a good spot for a good finish, or they got a lot of things to wrap up?
It's interesting. They adapted the comic or the graphic novel comic, whatever, pretty well. They've obviously taken a lot of left turns this most recent season, really showcasing that they are using the comic as inspiration, but not necessarily like going by it wholeheartedly. The thing that's been kind of, I don't know if it's been bugging me or what, one of the weaker points of this season is that they've set up too much. They've set up too many different plot threads, whether it's Kimiko and Frenchie, they both have their own plot threads as well as a plot thread together. You have Billy Butcher, his whole thread with Kessler, but then this whole thread with, like, they've set up so many things that episodes can feel so bloated at times.
And you're sitting here thinking, wait, there's 9 more episodes of this?
Yeah,
and
exactly. There's only a couple of episodes left this season. How are they going to wrap all this up?
I'm even thinking next season, like, yeah, even yeah, to wrap even, all this for yeah, next season. Like,
exactly.
They're going to have to wrap up so much.
There's so many different things. And, of course, I haven't seen the latest one because of...
Why?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Center Point, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Our expert hasn't seen the last episode? Get him out of here.
I know. Yeah,
why are you on the show?
All right.
Well, we can't spoil...
That's been Michael Carroll. Thank you for joining us.
I mean, you did say you were going to cut my time. I get it. But yeah, that's probably the weaker point of it. And also, I worry sometimes because they tend to go for the joke in certain situations where it's like, well, your character kind of hit a certain point where maybe you don't need to do that to that character right now.
Sure.
But they tend to go for hilarity. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just maybe sometimes, like, of the three, The Boys is the one, like, it's good, but it's not necessarily the one that I'm pining to watch, like, I really, really want to watch each week.
Okay, well, the other two, you mentioned good. House of Dragons and Acolyte. I haven't seen any of House of Dragons, and I am now, I guess, 2 episodes behind on Acolyte, I think. But despite what has been critic bombed by the what I've called, and I don't know if you guys agree, with the most toxic fan base and nerddom with Star Wars.
Internet bros.
Yeah, the internet bros. You know,
Astros fan base number 2 when they're losing.
Yeah. Power rankings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Parenthetically, when they're losing.
Yeah. Exactly. Or when speaking to Dodgers and Yankees fans.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've enjoyed Acolyte quite a bit. I mean, some of the kind of evil twin thing I thought was, you know, obviously overly cliche. But,
yeah.
One of the things I've appreciated the most is just the work of the main villain on the show, both in the fact that he didn't lose. I've had this conversation with you before, but when Kylo Ren took off his mask for the first time in, I guess it would have been episode 7. When he takes off the mask, he's like, oh, he looks just like a whiny guy. Like, and I know that I know the actor has a background as a Marine, but he just looks like I lost my fear for him. But when I forget the name of the character, the villain in Acolyte, but when he takes off his mask, I didn't lose that fear of him instantly.
Adam Driver,
much more menacing.
It may be more of just how they wrote the character in terms of they made him like a petulant child.
Yes, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like an angry, oh, I didn't get my way, slam my helmet. This one, he's much more calm, cool, and collected, and much more sure about himself. I think
that's a good word, sure. Yeah, he's very sure of himself. And also probably helps that he like killed 6 Jedis with like the snap of a finger.
I mean, you know, he's
like, okay, this guy's not to be effed with.
Also, yeah, like he had, as I put it on the podcast, the internet was thirsting.
Yeah.
And
yes. I see what you're going.
You see what I mean?
That helps too.
That helps too.
Those Jedi arms, or I guess Sith arms. Yeah, they had the internet a storm.
Yeah, exactly, Johnny Velmer. There's definitely a section of the fan base that was glad that those weren't covered up like his face initially.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The mask was really cool, though.
He had an anime mask, which was really cool.
It was so cool.
You know what we're
talking about, Sean?
I haven't seen it.
It's got this.
Are you one of the internet bros?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm apathetic. Okay.
I wish more Star Wars fans were apathetic.
100%.
Even better, I'm apathetic
about. Like episode 8, completely fine to be apathetic about. But yeah, I thought they've done that show really well. Did they just put out the last episode this week?
No, episode 7.
This is episode 7. We got one more after that. How do you feel like they're... Because doesn't seem like there's going to be a follow up to this story at all. Do you feel like they're speeding towards a satisfying conclusion, or what are your thoughts with the kind of pacing of the story so far?
I think there's some more they could tell.
You think
possibly.
So? Like in a movie or like a season 2?
I think a season 2.
Okay,
I think a season 2. I guess it depends on how, because you're at. You finished where he killed all the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
You haven't seen episode 6 or episode 7?
No, I saw the episode after that.
You saw the episode
where he and...
Sorry, I have to question you because sometimes you fall asleep.
I do. That's, you know, I feel like you're targeting me for being old, but it's true, so I can't say. But I saw the episode where he and May are kind of off by themselves, and he's trying to convert her to his side. Yes, I've seen that episode.
Okay. So, yeah, episode 7, we get the... what really happened 16 years ago.
Oh, okay, good.
And so it does set up for some interesting things to happen in the season finale that could lead on to a second season, depending on where they want to go with it. It could be just a one-off. But
there's a lot of material there because it's coming from a time frame in the Star Wars universe where they haven't really done a whole lot. So it feels like there'd be a lot of opportunity there. I want to talk about some of the movies I've seen this week because I've seen a lot thanks to
this man. Has been to the theater so much.
I don't think we need to discuss.
Cinema is back. Thanks to one man.
All because of him.
Yeah, if your Cinemark stock price has gone up, you're welcome. I don't think we need to discuss Long Legs much other than go see it because Nicolas Cage is brilliant in it. I know Michael's not going to go see it.
What are you trying to say?
He's a little scaredy boy when it comes to horror.
I mean, yes, I'm terrified.
But, so we don't need to discuss that, but if you like horror, go see it. Nicolas Cage is great. Quiet Place Part, or not Part 2, Chapter 1.
Day 1.
Day 1?
Yeah, Day 1.
Damn it.
You were close.
I was close.
No, you're thinking of Horizon Chapter 1.
I did see that also. We will get to that. I wanted to start with the good before we kill the bad.
That's fair.
But Quiet Place Day 1, the acting performances were great. I fell in love with the cat immediately. I told you, like 10 minutes into the film, like, if they harm one damn hair on this cat's head, I am going to revolt. I thought the story they told in the ending in particular with how they got there was absolutely fantastic.
I did a review of this with Christian Ellenberg of the Film Optics podcast, which you can go listen to on ComicCast's podcast feed. Shameless plug.
Shameless.
Very shameless.
Super shameless. It is a movie that took me by surprise by how good it was. Like, I was looking forward to it. I named it, like, as one of my most anticipated on Dell's show. Mm-hmm. But I didn't expect to like it as much as I did because of the
course. You little scaredy boy?
No. Hang on. I don't sound like that, Sean, when I get scared. There's a different noise that happens. We don't need to go over it right now. But I get a little scared sometimes. This one, but I also wouldn't say it's a horror movie, really.
This one's more suspense thriller.
Yeah. But also, like, I think this one, the monsters are there, but it's more about the humans at the end of the day.
Yeah, more so than the. Well, I guess the other ones would definitely be that way because you don't really see the monsters much in the first movie.
And they present a challenge and this and that, but it's more about this one character's journey. And her choice at the end of the day that matters most, and the characters that kind of help her along the way, and it's just a phenomenal like human story that I just caught me completely off guard. The trailer is
a phenomenal feline story,
That cat, by the way, that cat
is amazing.
That cat is amazing. That cat should have died like 8 times,
1,000 times.
There's no way that if creatures can hear like that. That cat's dead.
So there's a little bit of the dog from Independence Day going on with this cat, getting out a lot of scrapes it shouldn't have.
Yeah, the cat.
The cat's remarkably silent when like these aliens are like 2 feet from them, and it's just somehow laying on this. It was like on a beam in a room that was like on, or like an area that was on fire. And it's just perfectly still, not making a sound.
No meow once.
Not one damn meow. The entire 9 minutes of the movie.
I'd feel robbed.
It's but I mean. Cat's cute.
Yeah.
Cat's very friendly. Emotional support cat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Emotional support
cat. I feel better already.
Yeah. I could use emotional support cat this week thanks to Centerpoint. My cat's in San Antonio. But that's neither here nor there.
Your wife.
My wife took my emotional support cat to San Antonio. Damn it.
And your child.
And my child. It's been a week, Michael.
Are you okay? Sean.
No, not really.
Do we need to talk during the break?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But man, we got so much more I want to get into.
BetterHelp.
But I did blink if you're okay. I did find it. I like what you said about it, you know, just being a phenomenal human story. But I thought it was so impressive how they could take a movie that's already or a franchise that's already done 2 movies. Mm-hmm. You completely remove basically everyone from those movies. You basically remove the story from those movies that everyone has loved, and give us something completely new. And it's that good. I think it can't be understated how difficult that is to basically completely remove everything you liked about a franchise and give us something completely new and knock it out of the ballpark like they did.
And on top of that, like obviously John Krasinski was the main director for the first 2. He wrote the first 2. He's I believe he co-writes this one.
Okay.
But Michael Sarnowski is the director for this one. He did what was the movie Pig with Nicolas Cage? I don't know if y'all.
I didn't see that one.
But he took it to a level that I did not expect. I just thought his direction for it was really, really phenomenal. And it just he used the IP to like get people in the seats, but he tells a unique story that the trailers don't give away
at all.
There's aspects to this movie I had no idea until I started watching the movie.
No,
that really caught me off guard and really didn't prepare me for the type of movie I was going to experience.
One complaint I had, and I shared this, and we'll wrap it up here after we get to this, and I'll save the bad movie for the other side along with our big questions. But
cannot wait.
I guess it would be two minor complaints. One, it seemed like very, very quickly into everything falling apart in New York City, like literally 10 minutes after they first seen the alien, they already knew exactly what to do as far as not making sound.
Yeah, they picked up on that pretty quick.
That was a little bit.
I don't know if that was like just because viewers know like the rules and they just wanted to kind of skip that.
I guess it wasn't important because, like I said, everyone was kind of in on it.
Obviously, they don't know the big. What is it? The sensory overload that they learn in the first two movies, but they know a lot of their weaknesses like from the jump, or not weaknesses. They know one weakness and how they hunt and everything really quickly.
And the other thing is, it feels like ever since Stranger Things came out, every monster now looks like the Demogorgon. This movie included, it's like they show the monsters like. It does lose some of the, like, oh my god, what is that? One's like, well, I've seen this on Netflix for the last 8 years.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of this monster.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen so much of this monster.
We just need a little child to do some hand things and pull it apart.
I will say I'm not like surprised by it necessarily, and not that I was wanting it. I was curious if we were going to get a little bit more with those monsters. We got one brief scene in terms of
when it opens up the ear flap. Is that what you're talking?
No, like in terms of what they are and what they do.
Oh, okay.
Because there is that one scene, you referenced it earlier, where the cat's on the beach and everything. They do one thing that's like, oh, that's weird. What are they doing right now?
Yeah.
But outside of that, I didn't really care. I wasn't expecting anything necessarily with that. So.
All right. So on the other side of the break, a movie that wasn't good, which featured a lot of Kevin Costner doing Kevin Costner things. Plus our big questions of the week when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Michael Carroll, one half of Comic Cast. You can hear Friday nights at 9 o'clock here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. And all your favorite podcast platforms is joining us, talking about some of the movies I've seen this week because I've got nothing to do with my family out of town and no power. The good, Long Legs, and Quiet Place, Day One. The bad, I don't even want to look up what the actual full title was, but it was like Horizon American Saga, American Chapter One.
Yeah, I think that's it.
You got it.
Did I actually get it right?
You
exactly.
It.
Okay. Not good. And thankfully, it's also 3 hours long. So, but actually, that turned out to be a positive in this case because all I was really looking for last night was something to do after the Astros game that had snacks and air conditioning, and maybe I could fall asleep doing.
Did you fall asleep?
I did, multiple times. Multiple times. Which, you know, it was a problem because I also snore.
That one person.
I did feel bad that occasionally Kevin Costner, with the same Kevin Costner face, was giving some really boring line, and you hear that in the theater. Which I thought was perfectly fitting for the type of movie it was. Because it's I know you guys haven't seen it, and I've told you some of this already.
Yeah, please, no spoilers.
Kevin Costner does... Look, Kevin Costner... Okay. Kevin Costner is someone that feels like people older than us. I know I'm the oldest of the three, but people even older than me seem to regard as a great actor. I don't get it. I mean,
I don't get Kevin Costner.
I don't think he's bad, but like whenever I see Kevin Costner, he has the same expression and like same delivery for every line that he's ever given in any movie or TV show I've ever watched.
Yeah, Brian, that's called acting. Okay, God,
like he can only deliver like the same way he delivers. I'm going to do what's best for the team. In draft day, is the same way he delivered every line last night in his Western.
That's called range. Range.
Yeah, out on the range.
Yeah, yes, out on the range.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, kids.
I'm a professional.
Yeah, professional. That's what. But it's just it's long. They try to fit in, like, it's all the same time period. Although they don't really tell you that. You just have to, you're left to guess. But
as all good movies should, yeah, leave you, yeah, guessing.
But it's like, it's three stories. Oh, well, okay. It's like two, initially it's like two stories, mm-hmm, in like two different states. They don't connect at all. There's no like segue or narration to get you from one to the other. They just, and they're about completely different things. It's not like the stories and the separate situations are going through like a shared experience, like, right, like an apocalypse or something. We're all, right, going through zombies, but it's completely separate about completely different things. And then like 3/4 of the way through the movie, they mix in a third story for some reason. And they get to 3 hours, and there's no, because it's chapter one, and I think you said they're planning to do like four or five of these?
Yeah, I believe so.
So at the, when you finally get to the end, instead of like hitting a, like a, oh, there's a big cliffhanger, let's see what happens next, they just kind of stop and do that thing in TV shows when like it's the first episode of the season, where like, you know, coming up in the future episodes of, you, yeah, know, Horizon American Saga.
Next week on...
But they don't even give the narration. It's just like a 3-minute like music video with clips from the next movie that have no explanation as to what's going on, what its importance is to the story you've just seen. Because there's also... You don't. It's not even like you have them saying things in this video.
There's not even dialogue?
No! It's 3 minutes... of like just these action sequences, so it's like, from the next movie with no narration, no dialogue.
It's like how they did those just, next week on The Walking Dead.
Yes, but with no narration, no dialogue, and it goes for like 3 minutes. It doesn't explain anything. It doesn't like hype. It's just like, oh, now she's upset about something that they're not showing me. Like I,
so
and
weird.
And that's how they did the movie.
Wow, now he has a brown horse.
What happened?
Yeah,
and there's also. And maybe it's fitting for the time period, but there's also lots of problematic things going on, especially, you know, relations between the pioneer people and the Native American population. That, a lot of that, not good. And then Kevin Costner's obviously also banging a 20-year-old throughout the movie. That's, it's just...
So he's, like, morally, like, in the right in this movie, right?
According to Bill Belichick, definitely.
Okay.
All right.
How is he with the Native Americans?
He didn't actually interact with his story wasn't with the Native Americans. It was with, banging a 20-year-old.
That was his story.
Most of it.
I get why he made this movie.
That's why he wrote the part for himself.
Wait, you're going to pay me millions? Anyway. All right. Before we run out of time, our big question of the week, maybe get into, we'll see how it goes. Would you rather, guys, okay, all of us weigh in here, Johnny Belmer, you as well.
Okay.
Facing a zombie apocalypse, would you rather be patient zero or the last man standing? Anyone?
You're basically just asking if I got that dog in me.
Well, Sean, do you got that dog
in
you?
Yeah, of course.
So you want to be last man standing?
Yeah.
Well, okay, what is...
Survive. I want to survive.
Survive.
And build a new world.
Other than the obvious just being alive longer, what is the benefit to Last Man Standing? Because when you get to the end, the prize, like, it sucks. Yeah. You're basically me with no power and my family gone. And let me tell you, it sucks.
But, I wasn't a quitter.
He's got you there. Okay. He wasn't a quitter.
You're asking me if I'm a quitter? If I'm the reason for the downfall of humanity, I'm the one who, like a phoenix, rises from the ashes.
If you're patient zero, let's say Rudy Gobert, if you're patient zero and
unfair,
you die off early, you don't have to go through the trauma of watching all your other loved ones die. You're just gone. Like,
that's a good point.
You just give that trauma to them.
Yeah, but...
Not your problem.
I don't, selfishly, I...
Sean's making a strong case for Last Man Standing.
Right now for Last Man Standing.
I was going to go maybe patient zero, but I'm kind of leaning towards Last Man Standing.
Because all I'm doing is questioning your manhood.
I know. I know. It works.
Making a very moral argument for this. But yeah, I mean.
Sean, you know how much I like to run the ball. Establish the line. Don't you dare question my manhood. But seriously, like, I don't really understand what the benefit of being Last Man Standing is. Like, there's nothing, like, there's no people around, obviously.
Yeah.
They're like, the supplies are completely wiped out. You're basically just starving to death. Alone. It's kind of...
You probably run into cannibals.
You can't rebuild. I mean, you can't rebuild both because there's no way to repopulate the Earth, and because unless you're just the super rich person that already had or super knowledgeable person that already had this info in their head, like you wouldn't have the means to rebuild without the knowledge there. You're all alone. I don't get why you would want to be last.
You'd have to scavenge, and what if you didn't have a can opener? It's a whole thing.
I mean, they're both bad.
Yeah,
like, yeah, they're both bad.
You're making a case by
yeah, but at least you don't have to suffer.
Yeah, exactly. See,
I'm going for patient zero. I need my creature comforts, my AC, all that stuff. I'm not built for survival.
At least you get to live.
Out. Yeah. Would you rather be last man standing in a center point hellscape, or die right as the hurricane hits
right now?
Or... Goodbye, world.
He's taking his choice.
I'm surviving. I'm a survivor.
Yeah, I'm going to go last man standing.
You're going last man standing too? Like, okay.
Destiny's Child. I'm a survivor.
On that note, one more segment to go in this week's show. And again, programming note, no show next week because Sean and I are playing NCAA football, assuming we have power, of course, because that is very much a question.
I'm going to play.
I'm going to play one way or the other.
You're going to move to the city.
I'll break into someone's house. I'll get a hotel.
Wow, that would be a baller move. You get a hotel to play NCAA football.
It's NCAA football.
There's no way someone in radio can afford to buy a hotel room to play NCAA football. That is the most baller sentence I've heard. All right, one more segment to go this week. When we return on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, it's time for the award-winning, groundbreaking segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel,
these courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. This week, that's not much competition, thanks to Centerpoint. But it is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. And making his Mount Rushmore Plus One debut is Michael Carroll, one half of Comicast, which you can hear Friday nights here on ESPN Radio, 97.5 and 92.5. First off, I want to say that open was fantastic. I don't know who made it. I mean, there's no way to figure that out.
Yeah,
but whoever that was, you know, good job. I'm not going to thank him because I don't know who it is, but good job.
Yeah, no idea who that is.
But Michael, your debut on Mount Rushmore Plus One, would you like to kick us off, sir?
Yes. Thank you again for having me on Mount Rushmore Plus One. My Mount Rushmore Plus One is, you're going to appreciate this, Brian, top horror movies that I've seen.
Through your fingers?
That would... I should have added that. Yeah, that would confuse Brian because, wait, I thought he doesn't watch horror movies.
Oh, okay.
The first one on my Mount Rushmore Plus One, The Blair Witch Project, the original one.
I've never actually seen that.
You've never seen that?
No.
Really?
No. Yeah, no.
Neither have I.
Really?
No. Nope.
John, have you seen it? Have you seen it?
Oh, you know I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anything.
How did I see this movie and no one else has?
I don't know. Well, sounds like you're super old. That movie came out a long time ago.
1999, yeah.
I was, no joke, going to say they taught us about it in our cinema class, in the cinema class that I took in college.
Well, that was fun on Mount Rushmore Plus One. I'm going to go now.
You see it in theaters?
Shut up.
Number two.
The Descent. Do you remember this movie?
I haven't seen it. I don't even know what that's about.
What's
no.
happening right
I don't
now?
Know.
What is happening?
I love horror movies, so I have no idea what that
is. The Descent is the movie where a group of ladies go into a cave, like they're spelunking, and there's some creatures in the cave, and they get stuck. It's a whole thing. 2005
it's
film.
A whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
2005. Usually 2005 when you're spelunking, it becomes the whole thing.
Yeah.
You don't want any creatures when you're spelunking.
Well,
no,
for
don't.
One, it's a bunch of white people spelunking. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah,
it's a horror
spelunking
movie.
Spelunking is, I think, a white person thing.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Cool. So I've seen that. The It movies.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Okay. Very good. Yeah.
Got one on the board.
I got one.
You got one on the board.
The first Paranormal Activity movie.
Yeah, I'm not, no.
I watched the film festival version. Much better than the other.
I'm more into, like, slasher type stuff than, like, spiritual or ghost stuff.
The last one on my Mount Rushmore Plus One, Hereditary.
Yes, yes.
I saw that was terrified.
No love for Haunted House starring Marlon Wayans?
Scary Movie 1.
You know, it was like borderline. It was like borderline on that one. But yeah, that's my Mount Rushmore plus one.
Well, two of those movies, very good. The other ones I haven't seen.
God, yeah, I can't believe
I'll take
this.
A word for it.
Sean, how many of those have you seen?
The first Paranormal Activity, one of the It's.
One of the
One
It's.
Of the It's.
And that, I think that's it. What was the last one?
Hereditary.
No, I haven't seen Hereditary.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
You should watch it.
Okay. I'm proud that you have enough to make a whole Mount Rushmore plus one, though, Michael. That did surprise me that you would have enough to do that. So
I know.
This saying this out loud maybe make you think maybe I should see more scary movies, more horror movies.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, no.
My Mount Rushmore plus one this one this
I don't
week.
Sound like that. No. I will. We will. Anyway, go to your Mount Rushmore plus one. I like how we learned what my scary noise sound is on this episode.
I'm interested to see with people's reaction when you take in your emotional support animal to scare. Like, oh no, don't worry about that. It's like, oh, is that guy? Was that guy like nom or something? Like, no, he doesn't like scary.
Yeah,
no,
he just doesn't like scary.
It's a ticket to.
It's an experience. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's an experience watching a horror movie with me.
Watching scary movies is your nom.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's what we figured out.
100%.
All right, my Mount Rushmore plus one this week. We will obviously save Main Event Mapes as the main event. The Astros Rangers right now playing for Sean, playing for the
Battle of the Silver Boot.
That's right, the Silver Boot, baby. No more important sports rivalry trophy in all of sports than the Silver Boot. So in honor of the greatest sports rivalry trophy in all of sports, the Silver Boot, for the winner of the Astros Rangers series. My Mount Rushmore plus one this week is of the best clothings in sports. Awards and actual pieces of clothing.
Okay.
Head fake. I thought we were going trophies.
Yeah, right.
Well, there are some trophies in here, but there's also some like actual clothing. So obviously on this list, we'll just start right away. The Silver Boot, the reason for the season.
Yep.
Again, the best sports trophy in all of sports. I can't imagine trying to put the thing on.
No,
I think it would be a little clunky walking down the street. I don't know what size it is. I don't think it comes in a 15 like I wear, so it might be a little difficult to get it on.
Yeah.
Silver Boot, absolutely. I would say iconic, I think is the right word.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
Stately.
Stately.
Very stately.
Next couple are golden. One, Sean, you and I like this. The golden hat goes to the winner of the Texas-Oklahoma game every year.
That one's a fun one because you can wear it.
You can actually wear it. I've got a picture on my phone of Earl Thomas putting it on when he won the golden hat one year.
I have one with Charlie Strong wearing it.
Well, he's got the longest finger of all time. Yes, I've seen that photo as well. But it's great when the trophy, because there's lots of them, especially college football. But it's great when you can actually like pick up and do something with other than just holding it up as a trophy. You can actually put the damn hat on, which you can call the Silver Boot. But it's still the greatest sports trophy. Next one is theoretical, I guess, if you would say, or not actually real, but something people can get. This. The Golden Sombrero, which is what happens when a batter strikes out four times in a baseball game. Yeah. They say he gets the Golden Sombrero. I've never seen a Golden Sombrero, but I would wear one.
Yeah,
I would absolutely wear one.
Oh, like in real life?
Yeah, I would wear one. If it was real, I haven't seen it.
I thought I was going to say, you watch baseball. You've seen a Golden Sombrero happen. You've seen someone strike out four times.
I'm also curious how they got Golden Sombrero. Like, anyway, we're up against time. I should probably get through this a little bit quicker. Number four on my list, and this is specifically only for when I'm playing NCAA football, but red shirts. I love to take a top recruit. Like, I know you came here to play, but my roster's loaded because this is a 25-year dynasty. You're getting the red shirt, pal. You're getting the red shirt.
You know what I love? Burning a red shirt. Oops.
All right. And this is a tie. These are actual pieces of clothing. A tie for my last Mount Rushmore plus one. The goggles that guys like Eric Dickerson used to wear.
Oh,
or Kurt Rambis back
in
the day in the NBA.
Rec specs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I don't know if it has a technical name, but for linebackers, when they would wear the neck roll.
Yeah. The cowboy car.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever I'm creating a player in NCAA football, they always got the huge specs in the neck roll. Yeah, so those are elite pieces of clothing.
When you said it was a tie, I was going to say, that's not really a clothing for that sports.
That was a very dad joke. You don't have children. You're in your 20s. Don't make that joke. What's your list, Sean?
The Mount Rushmore plus one of programs I'm going to resurrect in college football 2025.
Nice.
Yeah, comes out. Hopefully I have power.
Yeah, hopefully
when it comes
we can
out,
play it.
You won't hear me at basically after for over a week. Or no, for at least a week after it comes out. So, yeah, this is my last chance to preview my plans that I'm going to resurrect. Number one, Rice University.
There we go.
Get ready to learn football, buddy.
Put down the books.
Yeah,
put down the books.
Or I'm dropping those academic standards. We're winning some games. We're winning some damn
Mission
football
standards
games.
Standards have gone down.
There's going to be bigger crowds in the stadium than the library now. Get used to it. Number two, the UConn Huskies.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
I don't think a lot
Not
of people...
a basketball school anymore, buddy. Move aside. Move aside, Dan Hurley.
Did they lose like 50
Coach
to,
Mapes is coming
50 to 3 in a major bowl game?
Yes,
for
they
all
did.
The
they lost to Clemson.
Yeah.
That Yikes. Also not that recently.
Yeah. Was it? Okay. All right.
That was when they're in the Big East in football. Number three, Tulane. Great
Ooh,
jerseys.
The green wave.
Yeah. Really just great jerseys.
I love the
great
logo. Vibe. Yeah, the logo's cool.
Great vibe.
Do they play in the Superdome?
No, not anymore. They have their own stadium. Okay. Number four, Texas State Bobcats.
Yes, that's the team I'm going to play as for sure.
Yeah. That's like the opposite of Rice.
Party school?
Yeah. In a lot of ways.
100%, yeah.
I don't think I had to change the culture too much.
No, it's already there. They already like to get down.
And then number five, the first in line of schools I'm going to resurrect. My uncle's alma mater, my other uncle's alma mater, my father's alma mater. Oh. Sam Houston State.
Oh.
Get ready.
Oh.
Bearcats.
They're now D1.
They're now D1. They're in the game.
Oh, I guess this would be, is this the first game that they've been in?
Yeah.
Because I know previous NCAAs put in some small schools.
This is the second time that they've been in FBS.
Okay, nice. Yeah. All right, well, that will do it for this week's version of the Bullpen. Again, we will be off next week because Sean and I will be playing NCAA football, assuming we have power. But thanks to Sean, thanks to John Belmer behind the glass, and a special thanks to Michael Carroll again, one half of Comicast, which you can catch on all your favorite podcast platforms, as well as on Friday nights here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 at 9 o'clock following Hall of Fame. All right, well, that'll do it. We'll be back in a few weeks. I hope you guys have power. I don't. I'm headed to eat some Tex-Mex and watch another terrible movie, hopefully not with Kevin Costner in it. All right, talk to you in a few weeks, Houston. Be good.
Forever! ESPN 97.5.